Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome back to the Kit and Krista podcast, episode 20.
Big milestone.
Big milestone.
Congratulations to us.
Yes. We are very excited to pass this very incredible milestone. But on this episode today, we're going to be talking about some fun stuff.
Yes.
One is a story time about a time that something bad happened to us.
We were almost on the Stephen Colbert show.
Almost.
And the rug got pulled out from us at the last second.
Is the key word.
Yes.
Almost is the key word.
And we're also going to be doing kind of a mid-year check-in on Game of the Year because it's almost, we're at the mid-year.
Can you believe
that? Can you believe it?
It's crazy.
Yes.
It's going to be July before we know it. And yeah, we're halfway through 2022.
My goodness.
But if it's your first time joining us here, just introduce ourselves
Welcome.
To you guys. Welcome. Thank you for being here with us. I'm Krista.
And I'm Kit.
And we collectively worked at Nintendo for over, what, 25 years?
Combined. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I said.
We're not that old.
Collectively, we worked at Nintendo for 25 years. And we created Nintendo Minute, and now we are doing this.
Right.
And it's very fun and
it
exciting.
It is, right.
So thanks for joining us.
And everything that we make on this channel is made possible by our wonderful Patreon family, so thank you.
Thank you. And if you have not subscribed yet to our Patreon, I'll just leave the link right over here. It is patreon.com/kitandkrista. Please consider supporting us to keep this channel going.
That's right.
Yeah. What else is going on?
Well, we're just back from Orange County.
That's true.
We were at VidCon,
yes.
Which was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of had, you know, VidCon is a show for, like, you know, online video creators to go and sort of learn and meet each other. And, you know, I came away from that with the conclusion that, you know, we've got this down. that's really my
that's
takeaway.
That's your takeaway?
It's like, I know most
of
this.
We have some different views on life here.
Yeah.
I agree that VidCon was really nice to go to. I think what was good about that is it makes you think about, like, all of the stuff that you're doing.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, for us, every week we're putting out a podcast, we're putting out a show. It gets to be this sort of content production distribution routine.
Right.
But it's nice to, like, pull yourself out of that a little bit and think about it overall, which is helpful.
We saw a small child crying because he did not get to meet Mr. Beast.
I felt so bad for
that's
that
too
small
bad.
Child.
We didn't get to meet Mr. Beast either, so
Darn.
Guess what? Maybe I was crying in the bathroom.
You were also crying. Yeah. We're all crying.
We
saw
Mr.
some
Beast.
Of you came up to us and said
yes,
hi to us.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for saying hi. It was great to see you guys at the show.
Right. But while we were in Orange County, we did something fun that you're going to see on the Kit and Krista show in a couple days.
Yes.
So, I don't know, like a month, 2 months, some time ago.
Some time has passed.
We did gaming headquarters office rankings in this area here, the San Francisco Bay Area.
Yes.
And we got so many people saying, like, wow, you could do this a lot of different places.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? There's a lot of gaming companies in Orange County.
Yeah.
So, we did it there.
We did it there. We went to three companies.
Yeah.
Sega, which you guys, if you guys know Kit, you guys know that there is some...
Beef.
There's some
one-sided
internal
beef.
Trauma, perhaps, with Sega. But we did go to Sega.
Right.
You're still here, so that's good. You were not arrested at Sega.
No.
We went to Bandai Namco,
right.
which is your
My
previous
old employer.
Employer.
Right.
And then we went to Blizzard.
They wrapped it up with Blizzard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that video, you can look forward to that in a little bit here. And we'll tell you our definitive rankings for the OC gaming company.
I won't spoil anything, but I will say we had our first security intervention.
We did.
Doing one of these. I thought we were minding our own business.
We were very
friendly. We're not like trying to like barge in and be like, show us the secrets.
Not at all. We were just standing outside in like the parking lot.
Right.
So it was actually kind of interesting.
Right.
At the company that I didn't expect this to happen at, actually. So there you go. Well, you're going to have to watch and find out.
My goodness. Yeah.
Yes. this is pretty funny,
what?
I think.
What?
The direct watch.
Oh, yes. Has ended.
Has ended.
Our watch has ended.
Our watch has ended. Yes, we can go into the night now.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord. What a tumultuous few weeks it has been. If you guys remember what we said last week, though.
Yes.
There are some of you that were very upset with us.
Had some cross words with us.
Don't be upset with the messenger, okay? No. This is not nice. It's not our fault. If we were at Nintendo, we told them to put that direct out.
Now, see,
you're not there anymore, so
all those people claim to have these great sources, this inside information.
Yeah, who are these people?
Saying the big, you know, direct of your life is coming on June 29th.
Yeah, which we had already said, you know, multiple times that it's kind of a ridiculous date.
See, we don't have a crystal ball, but we have a crystal brain.
That's right.
Between us, we have one
galaxy.
Brain.
We have one galaxy.
And that's all you need.
Brain.
No, that we use the power of deduction.
Yeah, like reverse engineering.
Like Sherlock Holmes, Batman, and somebody from like CSI all together.
We're like dusting off the fingerprints.
We pieced it all together.
Right. It does help to have worked there for so long to kind of know
all the tricks.
How the little gears are turning in little Ninty's brain.
Yeah.
So that is how we came to our conclusion. And let me just tell you guys, we were right.
Now, we're not going to get into predictions because by the time this airs, it'll be out.
Exactly.
But there's three little things in the announcement that stood out to me. First of all, this is not live streamed.
No.
This is VOD
only. VOD only.
Partner direct.
Partner,
but also
so
mini.
Mini.
But it's a 25 minutes. So
roughly.
Is it really mini?
Roughly.
Roughly.
The mini branding.
Right.
At Nintendo, when they used to put the mini branding on there, it's for small announcements.
Well, all of this is meant to manage the expectations.
That's my point.
It's like the poo-poo platter of expectation management.
Manage the poo-poo of expectations. but yes, it is 100% geared to make sure that nobody flies off the handle with some, oh my gosh, we're announcing so-and-so third-party game on Switch. There's a lot of weird predictions already out there, and I would just...
Yeah.
I would tell you guys to take it down, because it's
there are, though, some big third-party games that need to get something out there.
Yeah. Bayonetta, Rabbids.
We're talking about Dragon Quest. I guess there was some hint for that.
Yeah.
Again, we're not going to get into the predictions
now, but
we'll be watching that closely. And,
yes. We'll see.
And then I guess it's going to be a long wait for the real deal.
That's right. Yeah. It's going to be a long wait. We'll probably go through the summer with another title direct or something like that. We were talking about for Splatoon.
Yeah.
Is likely.
A little Twitter drop here or there.
A little litter. And then we'll just have to patiently wait until, you know, whether it's September or sometime around then. It is fine.
It's fine.
I'm fine. Are you fine?
Video game announcements will happen eventually.
You'll get the games.
Yes.
We'll get the games. You'll have plenty of things to play.
Oh, no. Video games are over. They've ended.
Oh, no.
Stop making them.
Yes. Just all together. but this was great fun for us, let me tell you, because we, it's been nice to be on this side, for sure. Like, it's been a lot of fun this time around just to, like, be here with you guys and... Mm-hmm. Even have like those kinds of fun little arguments with you guys. Like it's fun. I like it.
And as somebody who is going out of town on a little getaway starting tomorrow, about noon tomorrow, I'm quite happy to not have to worry about
this. Yeah. You wouldn't be like shaky with the internet.
Yeah, I would be like, we got to do this reaction
live stream,
on some,
we're going to do some things.
Some internet that doesn't work.
Yeah, and also it's like everyone has a short week this week.
Right.
I'm going to be on a sailboat for the next... Four days without any internet.
Live
so,
reaction from
like,
a sailboat?
See ya.
From the Bermuda Triangle?
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm going to be live streaming from the Bermuda Triangle as the ship goes down. I'm just kidding. But it's nice.
Oh,
it's nice to kind of like...
Yes.
We can take a break now.
Just
have
relax.
A nice summer
so
break.
I'll take a deep breath. Yeah.
Deep cleansing breath. we also announced last week, but kind of more like officially...
In case you missed it.
The merch, though.
Yeah. It's out. Check it out.
Yes. It's very cute. I hope that you guys pick something up. All right. Shall we get into our story time?
Let's do it. So we were, so like we said, we were at VidCon a couple days ago, and it reminded us of this ridiculous story.
Yeah.
Of this thing that happened to us, where again, we were almost.
But also at VidCon.
Right. So we went to VidCon pretty much every year for a stretch while we were at Nintendo. And most of the time it was just us and maybe like one or two other people who were on our team.
Yeah.
Very focused on the material that was being shared.
Exactly. And we were always very focused on the content creation part of VidCon because we were trying to use stuff that we learned for Nintendo Minute.
Right.
So it was not a lot of like markety kind of things.
But one year there was kind of this pile on effect where all these people wanted to go.
All these random people wanted to go.
Who didn't really have a firm reason or purpose. I think they just like heard about it through us. We're like, oh, I want to check that out.
Yeah.
So it was like my boss, some other kind of like higher ups on the team. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, well, maybe just leave us alone.
Yeah.
Because we have actual work to do.
We had actual like panels that we wanted to go to and things that we needed to do. We were like also filming, I think, that week.
Right, right.
So it's like, go, but like, maybe don't wrap us up in your nonsense.
Right. And maybe like 2 weeks before we were set to go, we got this note from one of the people who was going, who happens to manage like all of the late night show stuff.
Right.
So like anytime you see, like we do so much stuff on Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is the person who manages that. So we got a note from him saying, hey, the Colbert Show, Stephen Colbert, is doing this thing at VidCon, and they're going to have somebody there, and they want to talk to people who, you know, do YouTube content.
Yeah.
And they want to talk to you. And we said, okay.
That seems weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were already, like, kind of sketched out by this already.
Right.
Then we found out that it was, like, sort of this jokey piece.
Right. So they were going to have this guy, this actor, his name is Richard Kind.
Yeah.
He's since passed away.
I know. So
rest in peace, Richard Kind.
R.I.P. Richard Kind.
Right.
He was very nice when we met him.
But he's one of those actors. He's like that guy. It's like, you know him if you see him.
Right. Exactly.
And he's been in a million
different
things.
That guy looks familiar.
Right.
He is that person.
And the gag was going to be that he is the senior youth correspondent.
Right.
Because he's quite old.
Yes.
And
he was going to go to VidCon to like try to like figure out what the kids are doing these days.
He's going to get to the bottom of it.
That was like the shtick,
right? Right.
Yeah.
And yes, we do identify as YouTubers, but at Nintendo, we realize that we're a little bit different from like independent creators.
Yeah. So yeah. There was definitely things that we could not do within Nintendo that an individual creator what we do.
So we were kind of like sending a lot of questions over of like, is this really what they want to do? Do they really want to talk to us? Do they know who we are and how
we're associated with Nintendo?
Right.
And all that stuff.
And the whole time I was like, yeah, this checks out. They're really pumped. This is going to be awesome. So it's like, all right, fine, we'll do it. Of course, it was like extremely early.
Yes. All those tapings always take, whenever
always
we have
so
to do
early.
These kinds of things, it's like, got to be there at like 7:50 or 7:45.
It was like 8 a.m. and it's like, we need you for several hours.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, this is going to be an early start. And it's going to start to eat into our schedule too.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the show usually starts at like 10 and it's like, oh.
It's like a full day.
Yeah. So there's probably like two or three panels that we wanted to go to.
That we had to like
that
miss
we now have
stuff.
To miss out on. So I was like, ugh.
Yeah. So we were already a little bit like,
this
put out,
worry we had of the show getting like commandeered by this extra group is starting to come true. So I'm starting to get annoyed.
Yes, we're definitely getting annoyed.
Right.
And also like when they're doing like big talk show, like Stephen Colbert level talk show stuff, there's a lot of production.
There's a lot of energy around it.
There's a lot of energy around it internally at Nintendo. People seem to get excited about this kind of stuff. We were always kind of like, or nervous.
Or worried.
Or anxiety.
Yeah.
We were always kind of like, whatever, who
it'll
cares?
Yeah.
But also when we get to the production stuff, there's just a lot.
There's
like 45 bracelets.
Yeah. Right.
Green screen. You're wearing a shirt that had a green thing on it.
Well, yes.
Fades into the green screen. That doesn't look like a tape over the shirt. There's just a lot of little bits
and pieces
of production.
Stephen Colbert is like network TV.
That's what I'm saying. Like
it's just another level
of.
We've got the segment producer. We've got the lead producer. We've got the junior producer. We got the PAs everywhere.
Exactly.
So
there's like 45 sound people.
Right.
The mics are getting put on you. And there's like a boom mic.
Right.
And there's
but
a
you're
mic
right.
guy.
First thing, I sit down. They say, oh, you're wearing that shirt. And I was wearing the Uniqlo shirt that was just like all white, but it had the little green Mario pipe on it.
Yeah.
They had not told us they were using a green screen. Yeah. So that shirt
disappeared.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
And they were a little put off about this. And guess what? I was a little put off because nobody told me not to wear a green shirt.
Yeah. And no one told you that it was going to be a green. They had us put like tape over.
Yeah. They're like, do you have other shirts that you could wear? I was like, well, no, I don't.
You can be shirtless.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah, I could take it off.
Shirtless on the Colbert show.
That'd be quite a segment for Richard Kind. React to that.
Whoa, a man!
but eventually we get all settled. Yeah. Richard Kind comes out. He's as sweet as can be.
He's so sweet. He's
kind of playing it up a little bit.
Yeah, he's trying, I think he's...
to be clueless.
Exactly. Like, right. He's definitely very clued in. This is like a whole shtick.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So he's kind of hamming it up. He's, you know, and we're joking around with him.
So he's kind of like asking us questions of like, why do you do this? Like, what are these videos? And we tell him. And then I remember we eventually play like a couple races of Mario Kart 8 with him.
Yeah.
And he's kind of bumbling his way through that. And we're, you know, cracking wise. And it's like, all right, this is actually turning out okay.
Yeah.
It's not weird. It's not bad. It's like, whatever. So we kind of, you know, finish that.
Yeah.
And they say like, well... you know, we're going to be here all day. We're speaking to different YouTubers.
Mm-hmm. He, like, walks the show floor kind of thing. And interviews people.
Right. And the segment will be up, like, next week or something, so you can look for that. So it's all right.
Fine.
We finally get back to our day.
Yeah, it's been, like, hours at this point, and shirt's been taped, and I have 50 wristbands on, and so, I needed to... Yeah, we finally had
a relaxing start to our day of self-enrichment.
Yes, exactly.
And we go... So, you know, time passes... And we don't really hear anything about this segment.
Yeah.
Like, so
we reach out to the guy. And we're like, so what's going on?
Yeah. And we got cut. We weren't in it.
Why?
I actually think I found it on my own. I was just like, where is this thing? So, you know, they post everything on YouTube now. So I looked and there's like, there was the segment and there we weren't.
Yeah. We weren't in it.
Yeah.
After all that shooting.
Right.
And all of that.
All that time that we gave. Yeah.
It was so sad.
We got cut.
We were cut.
But yeah, they had some real, like, big time YouTubers in that. So it was like,
I could kind of see
it
that.
Was a little weird. Why were we included in this in the first place? Having this kind of brand show.
Right.
With Nintendo Minute on there. But again, then just don't have us.
Yeah.
Please let us go about our day.
We could have just gone back to our panels and learned the things that I needed to learn in the 2 hours.
I know.
So we were like... Oh, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Like, not because we weren't on it. Like, I could care less about that, honestly. Right. It's mainly because I wasted my time.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. This person, though, did not care about us at all. This person at Nintendo that set it up.
No, they didn't.
Whatever.
We were not informed that we were not in it.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
not very nice.
It happens. Deal with it. It's like, oh, my gosh.
Okay. And then never again.
Yeah.
Never again.
No.
We were very protective of... our time after that. You know, that's the thing
about
it.
Well, we were never asked again, to be honest. Let's not...
We were asked. But anyways, we were asked to do other things, and we were like, no.
With Stephen Colbert?
Oh, not with Stephen Colbert specifically, but to do things like this.
Right.
And we were like, no, we're not. Like, there was like some stretch of time, and they're like, why don't you guys do some like thing where you interview all the celebrities in San Diego Comic-Con? We're like, we're not doing that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, we're not doing that. That's
no,
not that's
not interested.
Happening. Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, that was our... That might have been like the worst VidCon.
Yeah.
Because of the hangers-on.
Got derailed.
Because it got derailed. Yeah. Yeah. But it was interesting. It was very humorous to look back this year because we were independent agents now.
Yes, we were on our own.
And no one could tell us what to do and it was fantastic. And no one could waste our... Only I could waste my own time.
You know who
now.
Did waste our time? Mr. Beast. Who again decided to show up at this panel we wanted to go to and created like a stampede with crying children.
The children!
My gosh.
Oh no, Mr. Beast.
Oh, Mr. Beast.
That's so funny.
All right. Why don't we move on to our Never a Minute segment, which I've been looking forward to. This is the Game of the Year check-in. Half point.
Mid-year check-in.
So July 1st is officially the middle. That's officially 6 months have passed.
Six months have passed.
Right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this episode
I jumped
airs.
The gun. I was like, oh, we're going to do this on June 1st. And then I had to look at, I had to count on my fingers. One, two, no, oh, no. That's not 6 months.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. This episode airs on June 30th. So it's pretty perfect.
Pretty perfect.
Yeah.
So we'll do like a proper big...
We're definitely going to do Goatee.
As I reach for my notes. A big Game of the Year show extravaganza when the time comes. But it's nice to do a little halfway point.
Sometimes I'm going to need this episode, I feel like, for myself.
You're going to have to go back to this.
I'm going to have to go back to this in December because whenever we used to do this in December, I really would forget every game
all
that
the
came
games
out,
that come out. Yeah.
Like the first part of the year, because you'd be you've moved on, you know. So it's good to have this as like a like a diary post almost. Right.
So we're gonna keep this part pretty informal. We don't have like a million categories or anything. I've just written down a couple notes of, about some games that I played this year so far
that have really stood out
that have either for good or for ill are on the list, and then a couple that I'm thinking of for the back half of the year.
Yes.
That I might have some thoughts or expectations for.
Oh, expectations.
Would you like to start for us?
Well, let's start with the big one, because I think this is going to be one that is just...
The big kahuna.
The big kahuna that's like almost the elephant in the room, which is Elden Ring.
Well, it's almost anticlimactic. I think it's going to take like a massive shocker to unseat
Elden Ring
as the game of the year.
Especially because, and it was so hilarious, because I think there was multiple people, and I think tweeting about this, where it's like, as the delays... were coming.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as game delays were getting announced, it was, like, more and more solidified that Elden Ring is going to take Game of the Year this year.
Right.
But, I mean, beyond that it is launching in a year, you know, maybe where Breath of the Wild isn't, that game is fantastic and amazing. And, like, was, for me, something that I really didn't expect, because I think you guys all know, like, at this point, that I was not a Souls player. I was... When I booted up this game for the first time, I was like, I'll play this for an hour and probably give up.
Right.
That is literally what I thought to myself. And then it was like 3 months later.
It was an obsession.
And I beat the game.
Right.
And I had like the best time really like playing it. So it was a surprise for
me. Now, my question for you is, are there any games, obviously we know what's been delayed so far.
Yeah.
As of now, are there any games that are on the docket? That could potentially
be the only other one.
That's what I wrote down as well.
God of War has to be the only
contender.
I have this here for that reason, because I
love your hands off that place.
I love God of War so much, and I've been looking forward to this continuation of the last God of War game. Yeah. And we know that those games are always just the highest quality, the most, you know, amazing storytelling. So yeah, but I'm worried about God of War.
Like about it coming out.
About it coming out. And also, I don't know much about it.
Well, I'm not worried about it being good.
Oh, no.
But I also wonder, it may not be for this year, which is fine.
Which is fine.
I mean, which will make next year, like, the most incredible
Game of the Year debate ever. Yeah, oh, man. Yeah.
So, Elden Ring, that discussion's almost anticlimactic. I think we should just move on from
that. Exactly. That's why I wanted to talk about it first, because it's like, well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I have a game that I played that came out very early this year that I have very fond memory. There's like a score. I don't know what to call it of like, what is your lasting impression of a game? Because there's some games that are in the moment, you're like, oh, that was awesome. And then like 2 weeks later, you're like, I played that?
About this game.
Or it's like, in hindsight, I don't like it as much. There's a game where my appreciation for it has increased quite a bit.
Okay.
And I liked it a lot as I was playing. Do you know what this is?
Kirby?
No. Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Oh,
Arceus, excuse me.
Oh my gosh, they're going to come
after you now. Pokemon Company's going to get me.
That's on my list, high on my list, and maybe the best Switch game so far. Actually, I'm going to say it, best Switch game.
I hadn't thought about it by platform yet, but that could be it.
Yeah, that might be it.
Yeah,
it is one of those games where, again, like kind of a new take on something that's very traditional, and we talked a lot about how I was not really into the last like couple Pokemon games. Yeah. It was a little boring for me because it was very formulaic. And this one just completely, you know, did something different. I mean, certainly there were some things that could be improved on, and like the quote unquote open world, could be done better or whatever. But yeah, overall,
you got a high bar for open world.
Yeah, I do.
You don't. You still don't think Scarlet and Violet are actually open world?
I don't. I want to see what's going on. I have a high bar, okay? Oh, if you are going to put a label on something, you better make sure it's accurately labeled. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, it is. Now that I was making my list, it was crazy to think that and Scarlet and Violet didn't come out in the same year.
Yeah, but very like up like but end still, like January, I mean, and like November, right?
Bonkers, so huge Pokemon games in the same year.
I mean, it's pretty incredible.
It's a lot of Pokemon.
It's a lot of Pokemon.
And yeah, we'll see. You know, do they build on the enhancements of Arceus, or is it kind of like a half step back of like, well, that's for that side series because that was more experimental. I hope they just keep going with these.
I hope so too. I hope they push forward on like the new stuff and like actually start to kind of like do away with some of the more antiquated, more formulaic things. I know that maybe not everybody's opinion, but that's what I would like. Yeah.
So Arceus is not my game of the year, but if I had to make a list now, it would be very high.
It's I agree. I mean, I think that is really the best Switch game so far this year.
Yeah.
With Kirby being a close second.
Yeah.
But it was something that was just like totally like sucked me in the beginning of the year. And I remember just, I have very, very fond memories of it as well.
So speaking of that staying power, I have two other games that concept made me think of. Kirby has kind of fallen off a little bit in my mind. As I was like, oh yeah, that was not that long ago. And again, that's a game I really liked. And I thought was, you know, one of the best Kirby games I've played. But it just hasn't stuck with me in my mind the way some other games have.
I feel the opposite. I think it really stuck with me.
I don't think less of it. It just was the staying power. It wasn't as sticky in my brain.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. No, I had sort of the opposite, like, view of Kirby.
Oh.
Like, I again, like, Kirby games can not be sometimes, like, not the most triple A of Nintendo properties or whatever. Like, it gets sort of, like, the B treatment.
Yeah.
This one I just thought was so, such, like, a premium, like, Nintendo experience for a Kirby.
Yeah.
For a game, you know?
Right.
And, yeah, I think, like, that moment where, in that first level where Kirby, like, comes out of the shadows and, like, that, like, sort of ruined world, like, opens up in front of you, like, that moment sticks with me.
That was cool.
Yeah, it really kind of, like, sets the stage for what this game is going to be like and what kind of, like, the atmosphere was going to be like. And I really
You're rekindling some feelings.
Oh, boy! Here it comes, stoking the fire!
Well, I do, and I think a lot of people commented on this, like, that game does get legitimately challenging near the end.
I definitely, the last boss fight was pretty tough.
In ways that go beyond what you've seen from a Kirby game before. Mm-hmm. So, all right. I mean, it probably would still be on my list, but
the again, carnival world?
It lacks the oomph that some of the other games did. Yeah. So the other game that I wanted to bring up with this against staying power conversation is Shredder's Revenge, which just came out.
Yeah, this one is,
and it had a super high, you know, spike of people being pumped, excited for.
Yeah.
But it's such like the style of game that it is, I'm a little bit worried about it coming and going really fast.
Yeah, it's already seemed to have went, actually. No offense to Ninja Turtles.
Based on the performance of the video we made on it, maybe people moved on.
Yeah, because, you know, I feel like, this style of sort of arcade beat-em-up gameplay is meant for these, like, short bursts.
Right.
When you're in a pizza parlor with your friends and you play it until your quarters run out.
Right.
So it's not meant to have, like, that kind of staying power.
Right.
So I can understand that.
But again, I wonder when the year's over and we look back, will it still be that fond memory or will it just be like, that was just like a blip in the year?
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah, I think for me, just like knowing those games are so like personally important to me.
Yeah.
I think I will still have it, but I feel like a lot of people might just be like, whatever.
I think if you grew up like, you know, being immersed in the Ninja Turtles universe with like the cartoons and all that stuff, like you will have a different, you know, memory of it. But if you're just playing it just for like the gameplay part of it, it might be a little bit hard to remember that.
Now I have two games that I put in the what if category. Do you know what they are?
What does that mean?
Well, you'll know.
What does the what if category mean?
You'll know it when I say define it. Horizon and Tunic. I put in what if. What if they did not release like
at the same time as
days or weeks after Elden Ring?
Yeah,
can get swallowed up.
It got by Elden Ring. Got those games. Didn't stand a chance, did they?
I mean, I really tried just to keep with Tunic.
Me too.
But
I couldn't do
it. At a point, it just got too overwhelming. I was like, I need to focus on Elden Ring.
And also Tunic was, I almost said Horizon. Tunic was actually like kind of hard. So if there was any other game that I was going to play alongside Elden Ring, it had to be an easy game.
Like Kirby. Kirby was perfect.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, it needs to be like the opposite of that, like, brutal challenge that Elden Ring was. And Tunic, even though like the art style and the gameplay and all that stuff was really different, still had that element of like, I need to use my brain and like skills to figure this out, and I do not have the energy because all of my energy has been poured into Elden Ring.
I do still want to go back to Tunic. I honestly don't really want to go back to Horizon at this point. I've kind of, again, I've kind of mentally moved on from that.
Wow.
Who knows? Maybe by the time I get back around to Tunic, there might be a Switch version.
That's what I
announced
want.
Announced or out? Or
is that going to be in the mini showcase?
Yeah, it's a third-party game.
It could be. That could be it. My problem with games like Tunic, too, is it's hard for me to play it, like, not in handheld mode.
Oh.
Like, I want that game to be on Switch so I can play it in bed.
I would prefer to play it on Switch. I mean, I had a fine time with it on Xbox.
It was fine on Xbox. I mean, it looked great. I mean, everything was fine. But it's one of those games that I just want to, like, I want to play, like, a level in bed, like, before I go to sleep. That's what I want to do with that game.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit down and play it for, like, 4 hours at a time. You know what I mean? Like, I want to just, like, have a little 20 minutes here and there.
Yeah,
that one is tough. Horizon, I say every week I'm going to go back to Horizon, but I don't know.
Just admit that you're not.
I want to, just though. Admit it. I'm, like, trying to think about, like...
Then do it!
Stop pressuring me!
If you want to do it, then do it. Who's stopping you? You.
I was thinking, like, I need, like, some just a good stretch of time where I won't get distracted again.
Well, that's never going to happen again.
And so I've been trying to think, like, when is it going to be
the boat? Bring it on the boat?
How?
I don't know.
Cloud
I haven't been on a boat in a long time. I don't know how boats work.
That's a tough one.
All right.
That's a tough one.
Now, I have one last game that is out that I feel like to have a definitive handle on the year, I really do need to go back and try it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a game that I have a bit of a mental block with for a couple reasons. It's Triangle Strategy.
Oh, Triangle Strategy.
I mean, people love this game. Like, I said, like, people like Roger's Base, our good friend Roger, he's like, this is like, this is a game of the year contender. Yeah. OJ, yeah, like, a lot of people really
and
love
it,
this
it
game.
It is a game on paper that I would love, but it's just the time sink.
Well, it's a little bit more for me, actually. The look and the story feel extremely generic.
Complicated.
It's, like, so generic. Like, I've watched, like, videos, and, like, I've downloaded all the demos. I've tried for, like, 5 minutes. I just, I can't do this. It's so generic.
Oh.
And please, if you're listening or watching to this,
and you can
help
us.
Me get over the hump, because I'm going to need to play this game at some point.
Yeah.
And I want to love it, but there's something about it that's not working.
I don't have that problem. I just have the problem with time.
Like,
these kinds of JRPG type games, like, I always just have, like,
you
just have the need to, like, just make sure you have the bandwidth to give to it. And I have, like, no time right now. I don't know what my problem is, but I need to, like, figure out my schedule, my gaming schedule.
You need to dump Horizon.
No, I don't want to.
That's what's holding you back.
I love Horizon.
From achieving greatness.
I love Horizon.
Can
we talk a little bit about, like, sort of after the after Kirby Switch games? So there's Switch Sports. There's Mario Strikers.
Yeah.
There's Fire Emblem Warriors.
Yeah.
Are any of those games on your list at all for tops?
Well, I haven't gotten to Fire Emblem Warriors fully.
You just
played the demo.
I haven't played it yet.
Like,
so
you,
I don't know.
I'm in over my head right now.
Yeah.
Ordinarily, I wouldn't say a game like that could have Game of the Year potential, but this one seems different.
Everyone says that this one's really good.
Where I don't think it'll be, like, you know, top, but...
Yeah, it could be in a category here and there.
It could be notable, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So sports games are a little shaky.
Well, I mean, who knows? By the end of the year, who knows what will have been added to those.
What more other characters could be added,
or more sports, more modes.
Yeah, okay, so maybe like a wait and see kind of thing.
I mean, I'm a little pessimistic about it, but... I feel like it may be premature to completely write those off.
That's true. Yeah, right now I'm having definitely a hard time, like, I think, finding reasons to go back to some of them.
Yeah.
But I'm very interested in Fire Emblem Warriors.
Yeah.
I really love those games because they do give you, like, story insight, like what Hyrule Warriors did. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious about that. I need to find some time to play it, but that might be something to add to the list for sure.
Now, there's one more game that, if it comes out this year, could be a bit of a sleeper Game of the Year contender. Probably not for me, because it's not my favorite series, but Bayonetta 3.
Bayonetta 3.
Bayonetta 2 got, like, crazy good reviews.
That's true.
When it came out.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, it's been a while since Platinum Games has had, like, that level of a hit. Like, part of me wonders, like, hey, you still got it?
Oh.
But that could be... That could be big for people.
Yeah.
But not for me, for other people.
Yeah. We'll see. I think little is known right now, so it's hard to say. But, I mean, if Platinum pulls it off, obviously those games are, are like, you know, huge fan favorites, and they have a huge following, and they always, you know, look and play great.
Mm-hmm.
Not my favorite franchise either, but yeah, we'll just have to see.
Yeah.
Great.
Any other notables?
No, I think we just started playing Neon White.
Well, that's a great transition into what we're playing.
Yeah, that game surprised me.
We are playing that.
That game surprised me. I was not expecting what I expected.
Well, let's just jump into that.
Yeah, okay. So we're just going to do that now.
It's perfect.
But, so I downloaded Neon White last night. And I've been seeing people playing it. I've been seeing some people talk about it. I did watch, like, a trailer or two. No deep research or anything like that. I honestly was very confused about what this game
Me too.
Was.
I also downloaded it yesterday and had the... We talked about this where it's like, this game seems interesting. People really like it, but I have no clue what it is.
But why?
Yeah.
And
what is this?
Yeah, exactly. And even after I watched the trailer, I was like, I don't understand what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's got like kind of like that No More Heroes, like a Suda feel to it.
Right.
Like in terms of like art style and dialogue.
Right. Well, now that you've played it for a night, why don't you give your best shot at describing what this game is?
Okay. My description is, it is a first-person, fast-paced platformer shooter.
Yeah.
And it has, but it's coupled with a very interesting storyline.
Yeah. First-person arena challenge
platform
slash shooter.
Platform slash shooter. Yeah.
That's the best I can do.
There's also a little puzzle element in this as well.
Yeah.
Which I was not expecting.
Right.
And again, there is a storyline. The simple explanation for that is you are Demon Slayer and you're working with like heaven.
Right.
And you have to like, you know, do some missions to slay these demons.
Right.
What I really like about it so far is they have this leaderboard situation.
They did a good job with that, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I see you on there.
Oh.
I want to beat you.
Have you?
Yes.
You can replay those levels again and again.
I know.
To try and beat people. Some of those scores that I see from some of my friends, it's like, you play this a lot.
There's somebody that is on my list that did a level in 18 seconds, and I was like, dang, that is fast.
Well, one of my friends is Neil from Nintendo World.
That's what I have in mind.
Well, we can mention him.
Oh, okay.
He's not some forbidden person.
Hi, Neil. You're really good at Neon White.
Neil is
18 seconds.
Killing it on Neon White.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I did have to replay some of the levels to get my rank to be the rank to move forward in the mission.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I was replaying them.
Right.
I have to say that I'm terrible at platforming, first-person platforming. I'm, like, really bad at this. Is not my best.
Even in this game, you're struggling with that?
Well, I was at first, but now I'm good.
So some,
I, like, figured it out.
So
I was shocked.
Some things that work well for this. The jumping is very floaty.
Yes, exactly.
And combined with that, the movement is really fast. It's like Doom-level character movement.
Exactly.
Fast.
Fast, but not fast in a jerky kind of way.
No, it feels smooth.
Where you feel like you're going to, like, run off a cliff kind of thing.
Right,
You feel like you can recover pretty easily.
Yeah.
And then there's some finger gymnastics with, like, discarding.
Some of the button combinations
are a little bit strange. It's a lot of trigger buttons, which I don't love.
It doesn't feel maybe like the best combination, but I don't know what is yet to come. We're still very early.
Exactly.
There might be more stuff they're going to introduce.
They may add more things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the gameplay is really interesting. You, like, collect these cards, and they basically give you abilities. Like, you'll collect a card that lets you shoot an enemy.
It's like, those are our weapons. Those are your weapons,
Those are your
basically.
Weapons. But you have, like, limited...
pistol or, like, a machine gun.
Yeah, but they're, like, limited.
Well, those are the bullets.
Oh, I see. Okay, I didn't realize that. Because I just, oh, that's why I did that thing where the color goes down.
Exactly.
Ew. But you can also discard the weapon and lets you, like, double jump.
Yeah, it gives you, like, another ability if you discard it.
That's a cool idea. Right. You can discard the machine gun and it gives you, like, a bomb kind of thing.
Right. Or I think the pistol gives you a double jump.
Double jump, yeah.
Right. And you can end up, like, having a stack of, like, well, I've got four pistols, so I'm going to do this crazy double jump to get up to this next level.
They're, like, basically, like, forcing you to use it to, like, get up to higher platforms and stuff like that.
But the idea is not, like, oh, it's not just, like, kill everything. It's, like, how quickly and efficiently can you get to the goal?
Exactly.
Right.
And you have to, you know, not miss the demons along the way. And also, like, know your path. So it is, like, they really do encourage you to replay the levels. And they'll tell you, like, you're stuck. You can't move forward. You have to start over.
Right.
But the levels are really fast. So it's not, like, frustrating.
Yeah, and it's got one of those, like, instant restart buttons, which I always love.
It's very nice. Music is good.
Yeah.
The art style is really interesting. Like, it has sort of, like, that Suda look
and
feel.
That was my thought as well. It feels. It felt to me the game overall felt kind of like a Dreamcast game.
Yeah.
Of just like, this is really kind of quirky and it's got a really unique art style, but the gameplay is really solid, but it's kind of hard to put your finger on what it is.
Yeah.
I was like, this would be like one of my favorite Dreamcast games.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's not a knock on it at all.
No.
But it's just,
it's got has that vibe.
The
for
feel
sure.
to
the
it.
The feel.
Yeah.
It has like very zany characters, like a cat angel and a cloud that you talk to, which I kind of love. Like, it's got that the Splatoon cat kind of situation.
Yeah.
And there's some other characters there, too, that you meet in sort of this hub world that's very interesting.
Yeah, you can, like, boost relationships with people.
Yeah, you have, like, a little diary that you keep. Yeah. So there's more to it than just, like, going from level to level, which is kind of cool. So I played, the tutorial part of it. I got to the hub world. I got my rank down to move on to the next mission, and that's where I stopped.
Yeah.
So, but I'm gonna keep going. I was like,
"Yeah, it's
this
cool.
This game is good."
I'm glad I tried it. It's one of those games where it's like, just don't get worried that you don't understand what it is.
Yeah, and don't be worried if you think you're gonna be bad, because I thought I was really bad in the beginning, and then I like literally figured it out. I was like, "Oh,
you just kind of have to let go of that
of your inhibitions."
Yeah, yeah. Now, did you know this is by the guy who made Donut County?
I did not know that.
I had to.
That is, like, very different than what this game is.
I follow him on Twitter, and he was tweeting about it. I was like, is he just into this game? And I checked, like, no, he made this game.
Oh. Donut County is a fantastic game, by the way.
Very different from this.
I commend him.
We wrote fan art to him.
We did.
You remember that?
That's right.
On Nintendo Minute, we wrote fan art.
He's amazing, because I think it takes a lot for you to do something in a completely different style.
Yeah,
because Donut County is like basically like a talking kind of walking game.
Right,
you know?
Right. I saw one of the things he said was like, the starting point for this game was just the name Neon White.
Oh, okay.
And like, how can I build a game around this kind of cool sounding, flashy sounding name?
I love it.
Yeah,
that's great. And like, all the other characters are also neon something, and then the character has to do with the color that they are.
Yeah.
So it's like neon red, neon purple, whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's a great storyteller, as we know from Donut County, and he's very good at dialogue.
Yeah,
because Donut County is like all text message based, and that was like the one thing that really stuck out to both of us, is that like that is literally text messages you would send to a friend. Mm-hmm. It's so real.
Yeah,
and the dialogue in this is like really well done too. It's like it definitely feels so real, like relationship type conversations that you would have with your friends or like an ex-girlfriend or whatever. Like it definitely has that feeling. So I can see that this guy did it too. But it's very different, and it's pretty cool that he did both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, on the plane ride to and from Orange County, I saw that you were playing a classic, Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yes.
What made you go back to Super Mario Brothers 3?
I mean,
Aside from just having excellent taste, clearly.
Well, it's a game that just is always good to go back to.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know what my deal is right now, but like when I'm on a plane ride, I don't really want to play like new games right now.
Oh, sure.
I feel like I'm easily distracted, especially on like a short plane
ride.
It's
hard to give your full attention.
Yeah.
On a plane ride like that?
Exactly. And it was a short trip, only like an hour plane ride. So like I feel like on those shorter kind of bursts of where I need like something to do, I typically try to go back to just like some like, you know, classic game that I've played before.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had started playing Super Mario Bros. 3 on my last trip to LA, which was for Summer Game Fest.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll just keep going with this like play this game on the plane kind of thing.
You were blowing through it, I saw.
I was doing okay, but I was using the rewind a lot.
That's fine.
Because
you gotta use that.
It's hard. Now yeah. I'm on like the harder world. I'm like on Good. World like six or something, like the Good. Cloud one.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, this game is so hard. How did we do this without any?
You couldn't save in that game either.
I know.
Yeah.
So like, what did we do? I definitely beat
warp
that
whistles.
Game.
Warp whistles.
Oh, I did have a lot of
yeah,
warp whistles.
That's yeah.
And you can use the items like that music box that puts everybody to sleep,
right.
The cloud that floats through it. I guess. But still, dang, the game so holds up so well.
Whenever I play that game now, my impression is like, wow, these levels are so short. Like they really don't wear out their welcome at all.
I think it's good.
Yeah.
My complaint with some other like Yoshi's Island, Yoshi's Story, that game is the longest level.
Kirby 2D Kirby, I always think like these levels are too long.
Why do we need to go through like 14 basements to like get out of this world? Like it's too long. Yeah. No, these levels are like, it's like 20 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, some of them you just blow through it, but they're all different, they're all fun, they're all great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I've been liking it on the plane.
Yeah.
You were playing Streets of Rage.
I was playing Streets of Rage 4. To be specific.
Mm-hmm.
So this has some crossover development between Shredder's Revenge. So I was like, well, I love that.
Yeah.
Let me check out this other game, which I actually had it, but I just, believe it or not, I'm not a big Streets of Rage guy. I love beat-em-ups, but Streets of Rage, not my thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people say like, oh, Streets of Rage is better than Final Fight or better than these other kind of like beat-em-ups of its era.
You don't agree with
this. I strongly disagree with that.
Okay.
I did go back. You saw also, I went and played the Genesis Streets of Rage 2, which is on NSO. I was like, I got to refresh my memory on this. You know, the setting is great. The vibe is great.
I was going to say, the music
is incredible. It just doesn't play that well, if you ask me. It's like super,
too slow.
It's kind of jerky. It's just like not smooth, like...
You need it to be responsive. Like a beat-em-up needs to be like super
I know
fast.
Somebody's going to come after me for saying this, but... I mean, I guess if you were a Genesis kid, that's all you had, so you didn't know better.
Oh, no. Here we go.
But Streets of Rage 4, though. I liked
Not
it.
Bad?
I liked it. Yeah, it was good. This seems to be, like, you can unlock a lot of characters in that game, and I don't know how you do it. I'm still pretty early on, but I tried with some of the default characters that you had, and, you know, it plays great. There's a lot of variety to the action. It feels pretty modern. The look, it has this kind of hand-drawn look.
It looked good.
Which looked neat.
I looked over your shoulder. It looked cool.
Yeah, it looked neat.
Yeah.
So I'm liking that. Something I've always wondered about Streets of Rage 4 is, like, there's, like, nary a Sega logo to be seen on this game.
Is it one of those anti-branding kind of things?
But it's like, Sega, this is one of your biggest franchises. Why are you not more involved? It's like they just license it out to this other company. It's like, well, you figure it out. Classic Sega move. Classic. I just didn't get it. But it was cool. So I might actually continue with that because I like it. Yeah.
We did play a little Ninja Turtles on the plane, too.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That game continues to be very good.
The game's great, yeah.
I'm trying some new characters. We both unlocked Casey Jones,
right,
which is exciting.
Right. Still playing online a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
yeah,
we both beat the game.
Right.
So, yeah. No, it's still really good. And then last...
So we had...
that was fun.
Was that yesterday? No, 2 days ago.
Yeah.
We had our monthly meetup for our 1UP Club, which is our...
I love our monthly
meetup. Our highest tier of Patreon subscribers. Feel free to join.
Yes. We had a lot of fun with the 1UP Club.
Right. So we got together with them and we played some Fall Guys online.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we always have a... It's hard for us to find games to play because we have a pretty big group. So it's like, last time we did a Mario Kart 8 tournament.
We did two tournaments at the
same
time.
And we had multiple games going at once. But it was like, it'd be nice to have one game we could all do. But then Fall Guys came out.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Right.
We might have to do this again because it was actually like a fun hangout game.
Yeah.
Like even if you didn't want to play, like you can just kind of hang out and watch.
It's very much in the Fortnite mold, which, what do you know, Epic owns Fall Guys now.
That's right,
It's a very good hangout game. I was not... super looking forward to playing this game, actually, because I had gotten it when it first came out. It was free on PlayStation Plus, and
I got it.
And that was like a phenomenon back then.
You were like, it's so, like, simplistic.
It's really simplistic, and there just were not very many variety to the to the levels or the things you were doing.
Right.
So it just felt like, you know, every 20 minutes you were repeating one
the
that you had just done.
Again.
I was like, this kind of stinks.
Yeah.
So I fell off it really hard.
I didn't play it then because everyone, you were telling me like, it's not worth your time.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, forget it.
And then nobody talked about Fall Guys for a long time.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, this will be good for this meetup, but I may not have the most fun with it. But I was pleasantly surprised.
We had so much fun.
They've added a ton, which was great. We didn't repeat much at all.
Those levels were legit challenging.
Right.
There was one level that it was just like...
Yeah. I mean, some of the controls and movement stuff I still don't love.
Yeah. It's a little clunky.
And I'll say the Switch version is a teeny bit rough in places, but it has all the cross-play,
so... It still worked.
I mean, I guess we didn't have to play it on the Switch. I mean, we could have played it on something else.
We could have played it on, like, something else, but... Yeah, we were all sitting over. We were relaxing.
It's so functional. It works.
Out. Yeah.
It's kind of like the Switch version of Fortnite where it works just well enough. But like, I found like, especially when you're going through like menus, it's like a little laggy and
laggy,
a little slow.
Yeah.
Or like you press a button and it's like one
There's
Mississippi,
a
two Mississippi.
Bit of a delay before something.
And then
happens,
something registers in menus. Like when you're playing it, it's obviously fine. But
we didn't have any disconnects. We didn't have any, you know, issues with getting people into the game.
I was worried because the game came out a few days before and they were having all sorts of problems.
Yeah, we were like, we were joking around in our Discord. We're like, we'll play Fall Guys unless it doesn't work, and then we'll just figure something else to do.
Right, it was a real concern.
Yeah. But we had a ton of fun, and I can see myself just, you know, having that game as like another like sort of hangout game.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to play like... You know, in
yeah,
the background.
Yeah.
And
so I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad that game exists, even though I won't be playing it like nightly or anything.
Exactly. Exactly. It's good for that specific like purpose
or
whatever. So.
Right. Right.
Yeah, a little bit of a hodgepodge of things that we're playing, but it's kind of fun right now because there's just so many like kind of smaller games to discover in my post Elden Ring world.
It's very
nice. Where I'm not like sucked into a single thing. It is kind of nice to just kind of dabble around. If anyone has a recommendation, though, for something that we should be checking out or something that you played recently that you like, let us know, because we're definitely in that, like, shopping around for games time right now. So.
On to the newsity news.
News.
We've got only two stories this week. Obviously, more to come once this direct hits, but Sonic wouldn't be a... Kit and Krista news segment if we didn't talk about Sonic.
For some reason. They're just in the news a lot.
This is like the year of Sonic.
The year of like
cursed
complaints.
To endure it.
Sonic complaints seems to be the situation
here. But the story here is, so Sonic Origins came out, and you know, some people had some issues with it, but then one of the developers came out and took to Twitter, had some vitriolic tweets.
Oof.
About some of the issues. So this guy's name is Simon Tomley, who's a developer for Headcanon. So this is interesting. He said, like, you know, what we submitted to Sega was not perfect, but they, you know, Sega apparently made it worse as they were compiling all of these different games. So this is a compilation of classic Sega games.
Oh,
it sounds like they worked on Sonic 3.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, once Sega gets all of this, they have to make the package together, you know, make it all work.
And don't forget, this is the one where they, like, try to nickel and dime people.
Yeah, they had all that
with all their crazy
ridiculous
stuff.
Like, DLC stuff that you could get. But he said, you know, we were outsiders creating a separate project that was then wrangled into something entirely different. I can take responsibility for my and my team's mistakes, and there were some actual mistakes, some overlooking, some rush jobs, some stuff we noticed, but we weren't allowed to correct near the end. So, you know, it sounds kind of like there's like the dual issue of, you know, when Sega got the code, they maybe created more problems, but it sounds like this was just really under a tight
timeline
schedule as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Which... I mean, I don't know if this is...
But why?
If you're Sega and Sonic is your, like, iconic franchise...
Yeah,
like,
this is like if someone messed up a Mario game at Nintendo,
why
which
are
would
you,
never happen.
Like, rushing this out the door while you're doing this weird nickel and dime with this
Exactly,
stuff?
And especially because this is, like, a sort of, like, a compilation game.
Yeah.
It's not like you are, like, held to this, like, ridiculous development crunch schedule or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just odd.
The other thing that's wild, we're in a new fiscal year.
The other thing
that's crazy is, so they were delisting some of the individual games that were in Sonic Origins.
Yeah,
like
that's
on
right.
Different, like the NSO version remains
right.
of these games, but on other platforms they were taking it down and saying, "Well, this is the definitive version." So that stinks if the definitive version is actually
bad,
worse,
and you can't get it the way that you had it before.
Yeah,
it's
so
just weird. Why,
I just don't
though?
Get. I mean, again, if you were a Genesis kid and this was all you had, then maybe you just can't move on. But.
There's a better way, people. There's a better way.
This is where I give my plug. We get to 50,000 YouTube subscribers. We're doing Sonic Week on the Kit and Krista channel.
I already made a graphic.
Get excited! Get excited for
it. Where a kid is on a Sonic body. So if you want to see that,
I'm gonna enjoy it. I'm
all
gonna
the
revel
ways.
In it.
Sonic head on your body.
Please tell
your head on Sonic's body.
Tell your friends. We need to get to 50K so that
we're
can
close.
Do this
and
I
get
can,
there.
I can endure this.
Endure.
Our next story is equally.
Troublesome.
Puzzling and troublesome.
Yeah, you're not going to make it emotionally out of this after this episode 20 podcast.
No. Both of these stories are sourced from Polygon, by the way. Thank you, Polygon. Chris Pratt says he has updated Mario's voice for the Super Mario movie. So this is kind
of. What does he mean by updated? I have a lot of questions about the choice of words here.
So this is kind of a twofer here. There's some chunks of info. So he did some interview with Variety, and he said, this is his quote, "I worked really closely with the directors and trying out a few things and landed on something I'm really proud of and can't wait for people to see and hear."
Okay.
Okay. Yes, we knew that the Charles Martinet voice was never going to work.
Right.
In a movie.
In a long form kind of situation.
Right. But I just wonder why Chris Pratt and the director, who we'll get to later, or the producer, who we'll get to later, why were they just not told to keep their mouth shut about this movie? Because we know that people didn't love the initial announcements.
Exactly.
And there's no footage. You can't actually hear what it is. So you're doing so much more harm just continuing to harp upon this.
And you're causing so much speculation from people that are already nervous people like yourself. And the choice of words is a little bit concerning. What does it mean by updated?
Well, it's not Charles Martinet.
But that's not a great way to put it, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, okay, so that's already...
So that's
the first part of the problem. Yeah.
And then, so the producer, Chris Meledandri of Illumination,
right.
He had another interview with Deadline. Why are these guys doing all these interviews? I guess there's a new Minions movie, so maybe it came up talking about that.
Okay,
but he should have said no comment. So he said, when people hear Chris Pratt's performance, the criticism will evaporate. Maybe not entirely. People love to voice opinions, as they should. Ooh, kind of hedging his bets there.
I like how he backpedaled on it immediately as he said it.
People are going to love it or not.
But then there's also this other thing. It's like about the Italian accent.
It's
going to
be awesome. Or stink. I don't know. Yes, and then he had this other line, which again is couched in this very strange way.
It is.
"I'm not sure this is the smartest defense, but as a person who has Italian-American heritage, I feel I can make that decision without worrying about offending Italians or Italian-Americans. I think we're going to be just fine." Is that something people are actually worried about?
I don't know. He's a...
Because if you're worried about that, then shouldn't Charles Martinet be worried?
Exactly.
Because what he's doing is really a stereotype.
And shouldn't every Mario game be like
decried?
Exactly.
As
some sort of offensive
stereotype.
So
I'm not sure where he... That came up before, I think, from him. I don't know why he's so focused on that.
Well, I think the point he's trying to make here, like sort of read between the lines, is that Chris Pratt is not going to have an Italian accent.
Exactly. Right.
And people should not be surprised or upset by that, because the reason why they're doing it is that they don't want to offend Italian Americans or Italians, and also because he wants to quote update his voice.
Yeah, my guess is it's going to be something. It's more like the gruff Brooklyn accent, maybe, especially since there's like the casting of that character Spike, who is from like Mario's days and the Wrecking Crew. I could see it being like, "Yeah, let's go, Luigi, let's go get him." Something like that.
No, I don't want that.
Well, again.
Can't he just be like a normal
The criticism
man?
Will evaporate. Maybe not entirely.
He can't just be like a normal person?
No.
Why?
He's Mario. And
oh
he's Chris Pratt.
I don't want Mario.
And they're
going to
do something
like,
crazy.
I feel like Mario's very happy.
Yeah.
And very like, he needs to embody that spirit of like hope, you know?
Again, Just release a trailer, and all, and that, you know, that will evaporate. The talk, the speculation
will
evaporate.
But maybe not entirely.
Please do not say another word about this movie until you release a
trailer.
They're
going to release a trailer of them singing a song in New York City.
Stop! Is there, does Chris Pratt sing? Has he ever sung in a movie? Have we ever heard him sing?
He does sing,
I think. In what?
Does he sing in Parks and Rec?
I don't know. I don't watch that.
That's a great show, by the way.
Does he sing in that?
I think
that's
he
not
does.
A musical.
No,
see,
it's not a musical.
You need to be able to sing. If you think this is a musical, I don't want it to be a musical.
I know. You don't. You really don't want it to be a musical.
There'll probably be some songs. I mean,
it's going to be a musical.
You'll get, you know, your Smash Mouth song. And, you know,
you get like Rascal Flatts, you know, Life is a Highway.
All Star 2022 revamp, you know.
You'll get like a...
Did this studio do Shrek? No. That was DreamWorks.
That was DreamWorks. Illumination did Minions.
Despicable Me.
Despicable Me.
Minions. What's been the musical track record of Minions?
No singing. No singing in Despicable Me either.
What is it? Oh, really?
Yeah, no singing in that.
Well, Minion kind of sounds like Alvin and the Chipmunks, right? And they sing. See, you know, I'm putting the pieces together. It's one of those, right?
Yeah. It's like a less annoying rabbit. A minion is way cuter than a rabbit, though.
Would you rather marry a minion or a
rabbit? Oh, definitely a minion. Definitely a minion. A minion is cute.
Ew!
It's cute. It's like a little jelly bean. It's cute. They could do stuff for you. It can be like a little,
what?
Like make you breakfast.
Well, so could a rabbit.
No, a rabbit will mess it up. It'll like make a mess in the kitchen. Ew. Like try to make you pancakes, but you can't pancakes in the ceiling. Ew. Gross. That rabbit's going back in the cage.
Oh, no.
All right. We got
Questions? These are sourced every week exclusively from Patreon.
Yes.
We got some great ones. First is from AOKB. Hi, both.
Hello.
On the topic of E3, you've mentioned how during E3 you would have meetings after other developers held their presentations to discuss. Was there a time where another developer announced something that made Nintendo change their game plan for their own presentation? I'm curious what types of things could cause a last-minute adjustment to the strategy.
Very important strategy. I will say that this did not happen very often.
Yeah, this was always, like, the big
fear.
Conceptual thing that was put out there. Of like, we're going to have all these meetings, and if we need to, we're going to rip up what we have, and we're going to start over.
Yeah.
I agree. That never really happened.
Yeah. There may be some changes. Like, I think we reordered a presentation one year. Because of something, like, I think, I don't remember which year this was, but there was probably a big, you know, a big Sony or Microsoft announcement where they maybe put their news very, like, front-loaded. And in the Nintendo presentation, it was very much like a build-up to, like, a final moment, like, one more thing, like Nintendo likes to do.
Yeah.
And I think that there was, that year, there was a reordering of the presentation, like move some segments around so that the news was a little bit more.
Often I found it was just just really like emphasize what we already had as far as talking points and like hit them really hard because like, you know, we weren't too scared or too impressed by what the others were announcing.
Yeah.
The one that, whenever there was new hardware announced, like that was always like,
a little bit of a
clencher. You get nervous because you knew like in an E3 setting that was like the red meat that people would go for.
Right.
And that we would get kind of needled about. But again, we never completely changed
exactly
the approach.
Yeah. The other thing that is kind of related to this is there was that one transitional year where I think Nintendo decided to do like gameplay right after the presentation.
Yeah.
And that was something that came out of like studying some of these competitor presentations where it's like, well, you know, their games have the advantage of graphics and cinematic trailers.
Right. We found that we would get a bit of a muted reception after the presentation, but once people played it in the booth, they were much happier.
So they like the strategy after like learning that from these competitor presentations, because they would get like the big fanfare like right afterwards because it was like, wow, that game looked great, you know, like how exciting.
Yeah.
And Nintendo would never get that. And so, like, they did this thing where they, like, shrunk the time between when you saw the presentation and when you can get, like, hands-on.
Yeah, that was a good idea.
Of the game. I thought that was a good idea.
But that was also, like, a year in planning. It was not
that's
like,
right.
Oh, let's change like, this last but for minute. Tomorrow.
But it was, like, it came out of one of these competitor
true.
Meetings. Like,
that's true.
Okay, this is what we're going to do to, this is a big learning.
Yeah, and that was a good change.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, nothing like, oh, no, like, we got to start over kind of thing. Yeah.
Brooke Obscura asks, what was the first game you sought out to play that never released outside of Japan? And were you surprised that it didn't make it to other regions?
Mm.
So, two games I'll mention.
Mm-hmm.
I studied Japanese a little bit in high school. Unsuccessfully, I should say. my Japanese knowledge is extremely limited. But one time, my Japanese teacher did go to Japan and came back with a game. She's like, well, I know you have a Game Boy, so I got you this Game Boy game.
That's kind of nice.
Which was this, you know, the series, the Legend of the Mystical Ninja, or Goemon, as it's sometimes known.
Yeah.
So this was some, you know, Game Boy Goemon game, all in Japanese, which I struggled to make any progress in because, again, I didn't know Japanese, and
maybe
I never
did. Maybe the Japanese to try to get it for you so you could, like, learn.
So that was kind of an early lesson on the challenges of importing games for me.
Yeah.
And, I'd heard of people who were like, oh, I imported Final Fantasy VII and I beat it in Japanese. I'm like, how in the world did you do this? I don't
Dictionary?
Know.
Dictionary? Google Translate?
So I just didn't have the gumption
to do anything
like that. So I, most of the time, just waited.
Yeah.
The one game, and this was the reason I bought a PS3. I've talked about this before. I wanted to play Dynasty Warriors Gundam like crazy.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can get through a Dynasty Warriors game without
knowing
Japanese.
Yeah, that one you don't need that much text.
Right.
It's not a lot of reading.
Yes. So I did import that immediately when I got a PS3. That game did eventually come out in English, but I was glad to have that early.
Early,
when I did.
Yeah. I stole your Rhythm Tengoku, and I still have it. And I play that game in Japanese on my Game Boy Micro all the time.
You've lost it.
I don't. I didn't lose it. I will send you a photo of it.
Give it back.
I'm not going to give it back to you. But yeah, it's hard. It's very difficult to play, like, imported games.
And then,
The
other sad story. I found a lot of sad stories about this.
What's happened?
I got Oendon in Japan on a trip to Japan. I let somebody borrow that. They left the company, never gave it back. It's gone forever. So I'm upset. I'm not letting people borrow anything again.
Let me borrow that.
I'm done.
Other
no.
Okay.
Borrow what?
Nothing.
No. The answer is no.
Can I borrow your Game Boy camera?
No. I just got a Game Boy camera. I'm very excited about that.
You won't let me borrow it?
No.
Come on.
We might do something with that, though. So you can see it that way. You cannot borrow it.
Can I borrow the Nintendo Powers again?
No. Get your own!
Okay. All right.
You got this one.
What?
Please.
Oh, Kai X. You mentioned how nice Charles Martinet is several times. What Nintendo actors do you have relationships with? Did that come about through Nintendo Minute, promotional appearances, or something else? What's your best K&K plus actor story? Nintendo actors? How many Nintendo actors are there?
I've had kind of a mixed experience with voice actors.
Voice
actors. So two that I had really great experience with is Patricia Somerset,
who is amazing.
Who is the voice of Legend of Zelda and Breath of the Wild. Wonderful person. Rena Strober, who is from Fire Emblem. Also very good. I get it. Like, voice acting is kind of like a challenging job where you need to scrap to get opportunities. And... you know, we would kind of have to approve them doing different things because it would often be like, well, it's the voice of Zelda. And it's like, oh, I've been asked to do this performance as Zelda in this panel. It's like, all right, we don't really want you to do that.
Right, right.
Because that's an unauthorized performance. But if it was just like, oh, I'm going to go to this thing and sign autographs, it's like, whatever, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And they seem to really understand the company's position on things we would and wouldn't be comfortable with.
Right.
And kind of internalized that and didn't come to us with a lot of stuff that would have just been like an immediate no.
Right.
But there was a lot they could do.
Right, right.
So, and they got, and I mean, these are two very well-known actresses.
Yeah.
So
they've
gotten a lot of mileage out of this. But there were others on other games who didn't seem to get it and who just kind of seemed to come to us with the same things.
And they would, like, needle you.
They would be really grumpy about it,
exactly.
Too. Of like, ugh, I'm just really upset that you won't let me do this, you know, fan recording of this thing.
Yeah.
It's like...
like, you know, you can't do that.
You've
That's
asked
like,
me this three times already,
right.
And we've explained why.
And also, like, Nintendo is... You're again, like, shooting the messenger kind of thing. Like, you cannot give her the... like,
yeah,
the approval
so it was
to
like,
do that.
I would try to explain it. The localization team would try to explain it. The localization company that they worked with would try to explain it. And they just didn't get it. And it's like, again, I get it. You need to be hungry and you need to pursue some of these opportunities outside of your actual performances.
Right.
But just be a little bit savvier about it. So I had a mixed bag with voice actors.
Yeah. My favorite story was both challenging and fun, but it was working with the singer that sang Jump Up Superstar.
Oh, yeah.
For the TGA performance.
That's right.
I forget her name, but I'm sorry. I'm blanking terribly on her name right now.
I forgot about this.
But I was, for a couple of years, I was managing like the musical part of any sort of like Nintendo TGA thing. So we did like the Smash Orchestra.
Yeah.
And the year that we had Odyssey, we had the singer. She sang with the TGA orchestra.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. Like she has like an amazing voice, but it was really challenging because the rehearsal schedules for those performances is really tight. You don't have very much time because poor Jeff is running around trying to get everybody some stage time so they can do. So it was just like, you know, Nintendo is very, as you guys know already after all of our many stories, like very like much perfectionist. So just getting all of those little details ironed out for that performance was a little bit stressful, but it looked great when she did it. And it was a cool moment. I think there were some of the developers were in the audience, and the person that wrote the song music was in the audience, and they had like this cute little meet and greet afterwards. Right. It was a cool moment.
Yeah. Frulio asks, regarding the more recent Paper Mario games, it was stated that the development team is no longer able to graphically represent individual characteristics in the Toad NPCs. How did this decision affect your ability to market the game in its best light? So I remember when this came out.
Yeah.
This was a quote from Mr. Tanabe.
Right, right.
Who is honestly a Nintendo legend.
Yes.
From the very beginning. And he's worked closely on these recent Paper Mario games. And I gotta admit, I don't understand the background. Because we were told Nintendo developers have complete freedom with the IP that they are working with.
Right.
They can do whatever they want because they are creating these games. They need the creative freedom to make this magical. And obviously us as marketers, we were not given that freedom.
No.
Completely understandable.
Yeah.
So I didn't understand why this quote came out of him saying, yeah, we actually aren't able to do that anymore.
Yeah.
It didn't add up.
Who told them that?
I don't know. I mean, if true, that's a huge issue.
That's a huge issue for a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, beyond marketing. It's a issue for the game and for the franchise and for the development team.
Yeah. So I was puzzled by that. I saw that. I was like, that's not what we were told.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, he said it, so.
Right,
it must be coming from somewhere.
But,
who would tell him?
Him.
Out of all people, you can't do something.
You want to see? You want to
see creator of Yoshi?
Susan? You want to see my resume, bro?
You know who my bestie is? Miyamoto.
Yeah,
we go to lunch every day. Like, what the heck?
So I don't have much more to add to this other than to say that was extremely bizarre.
It was
based
bizarre.
On what we were told.
Yeah, it was very bizarre.
Next question comes from Kyle325. It took me a while to finally think of a good question, but I think I have a decent one. Well,
yay!
Thank you for asking it. Here we go. Do you think that the Switch would have been as successful as it is today if Nintendo continued with the Wii naming and called it the Wii Switch?
Oh!
I ask this as a legit fan of the Wii U.
No. I think it would have. I like the Wii U too. I think this is a great question about branding. We talked a lot about how when they told us the name for Wii U, collectively the room just was silent. And I remember a moment when someone was like, do you like the name? And I looked at them and I said, not really. I think it's extremely confusing. And they were like, oh? You know, it was one of those moments where when they revealed the Wii branding to us, or the Wii U branding to us, they were like, oh, everyone's going to get it. Nobody got it. Clearly no one got it in the public either. So I was very glad to see Nintendo Switch have a very recognizable name. Like, you knew immediately who was making the product, Nintendo, and what was interesting about it, which was that it could go from TV to, you know, handheld. And that was, like, encapsulated in the branding. So I think it would absolutely have had the opposite effect. And I shudder to think about the marketing challenges we would have had if it was called Wii Switch.
Well, first of all, I'm looking forward to the inevitable Switch U. but going back to
Super Switch.
Now, going back to the Wii U, Is there a scenario where they could have not gone with the U, but done some variation on Wii that would have worked?
Super Wii.
So you are on that side.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am too.
Because then you would have described that it was a better Wii.
I mean, you could argue of like, well, if people thought it was an upgrade, then it's like, oh, well, it's an upgraded Wii. I don't know. I mean, you can argue this however many ways.
But it's at least better than it being just an added gamepad.
I think there were also issues with the way that the product was visually shown and introduced.
But the naming did not help it at all.
Yeah, the name was not the sole issue, but it certainly didn't help. But the U, it's like, what does this mean?
The U has, it was like completely useless.
Yeah.
U for useless.
Quite strange.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Oh my God. That would have been, because I think we all like held our breath for the reveal of this name.
Yeah.
For Switch. And we were like, please do not let it be a Wii U situation again. Because that was really hard marketing wise for everybody.
But I mean, they've also had the new branding, new Nintendo 3DS.
Yeah, that's fine.
Is it? I mean, it didn't crash and burn, but. It's a little weird, right? What? You're just doing Toad voice out of the... What happened?
Hi!
What happened to you?
Wii U!
What are you doing?
I'm traumatized.
I need to call an ambulance?
By Wii U branding. By new Nintendo Switch U Plus.
Deluxe.
XL.
Deluxe XL.
Deluxe L. Oh my God. It's funny. That's really funny. Not my problem, as Benji would say. Link.
Yes.
Oh, I like this question. If you suddenly had complete control over Nintendo, what is the first thing you would do?
Now, I want to say one thing first. Obviously, if you were to take over the reins, there would be
kind of reins?
Just the big boss reins.
Like, Furukawa's job?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, there might be an impulse to be like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to greenlight this game, I'm going to do a million things.
Right.
We need to acknowledge there's a lot that is happening that is on the right track at Nintendo.
Oh, yeah.
That does not need to be
disrupted. It doesn't need to be overhauled or anything like that.
I would say I'm going to do as little as possible. I might find one or two things that I think I could... you know, help navigate on the right path. But in most cases, I'm going to do nothing because this is working. And I don't want to just like, you know, derail this train.
Don't derail the train going in the right direction. I agree with you. I think that there is a lot that Nintendo's doing right. You know, obviously, system is selling gamebusters. Yeah. Right. Games are high quality. They are doing great.
Yeah.
Certainly, there's some like things that can be like some pain points.
Mm-hmm.
I would say like the one thing that I maybe would try to steer Nintendo in a little bit more is just like the whole like idea of modernization on certain things.
Yeah.
Like online experience. The internet. The social world.
So you would host a seminar called Introduction to the Information Superhighway.
Exactly. WWW. Yeah. Let's go.
We're starting with AOL and CompuServe.
Yeah,
and
we're gonna get on Netscape. Up. You know, we're gonna look at that. We're gonna look at the AIM. I would say like those are the areas where I think sometimes they're in the little bubble that is like Japan,
right,
you know, and they're like in their thing, which is totally fine too. Like the amazing games are coming out of that, but there are now, you know, society has moved on.
Right.
We have different ways of consuming content and interacting with each other. Maybe some of those things could be modernized a little bit.
Yeah. I think you could give... It wouldn't be heavy-handed. It would be like, I need you as developers to really think deeply about how you are utilizing the internet in ways that reflects how people use the internet today and expect it today.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm still giving you the freedom.
You can decide how you want
to
do
decide it.
Yeah.
But I am really expecting you to do that.
Yeah. And I want you to think about it. I want you to research it.
Right.
Let me, like, tell me what resources I can give you so you can learn...
Yeah.
About this, because certainly that is.
It seems that has not happened yet.
That's correct. Yeah, I agree with that.
One thing I would do, you know, there's the whole strategy, IP expansion strategy.
That's right. The theme parks and the movie and the things. Yeah.
I would say it's time for us to get our act together with this music, because that is a big
music.
That is a big money making
business opportunity.
Business opportunity that we have just completely like put our head in the sand on.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, fans have angst over it because of, you know, all these YouTube takedowns. There's no way to get it. It's like, yes, we're going to solve that problem, but we're also going to make a ton of money off of this.
Yeah, this is a good idea just for, like, in terms of, like, getting revenue. Right. So, yeah.
I do think it's on somebody's list there. I think it's at the bottom of the list.
Very bottom of the
and
list,
And it's not the person who's going to make it happen's list.
Yeah.
So I would say put that to the top of your list.
The other one.
Because it's on the top of mine.
Oh, whoa.
Just put on my boss voice.
Your boss. got a flashback there. Oh, no. The only other one, they're kind of doing it already now, this museum thing, but like the archiving.
Right.
We need to hire like an actual archive, team of archivists.
It feels like this is moving in the right direction. It might need a little bit of acceleration.
This is my history major coming into play. Yeah. I'm like terrified that someone's going to pass away or somebody's desk is going to get trashed and then there goes all the things.
Yeah.
Because that's what it looks like over there now. But well done overall, Nintendo, for being a great company.
Yeah.
Okay, Riven, during your excellent answers.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Regarding Japanese culture, one thing you had mentioned was to be ready to drink. As someone who does not drink alcohol, would I be seeing as rude or offensive, or is it a level of understanding for those of us who choose not to drink? Oh, yeah, you're totally fine. It is absolutely not like a mandatory thing, but they're you know, at these kinds of gatherings, there is oftentimes a lot of sake and toasting. I think if you politely declined, everybody would understand. No one would think any less of you at all.
People at Nintendo who don't drink include Mr. Iwata, Mr. Miyamoto.
And Mr. Miyamoto.
And I think Mr. Furukawa.
No, I think I've seen him have a glass of wine.
Okay,
once.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But again, the precedent is set.
Yeah.
If people don't want to drink, do not hassle them.
You do not have to at all. Yeah. And
not a big
there's
deal.
Plenty of people that didn't. Right. Too, but like, yeah, but there will be alcohol there, so
yeah, this is not a Team Ninja circa 2004.
Oh my god, you don't need to like out drink your boss at 5 o'clock
like
in the morning,
blackout with a tie tied around your head, or
you're
something.
You're like, what is it, the Shibuya meltdown?
Yeah, you're not gonna be on the Shibuya meltdown Twitter account.
That's a really funny
That's a good
Twitter
account,
by the way.
That
if
out,
you guys
yeah.
need to want to yeah, follow don't, something,
don't
end
up
make
on that
you
list
laugh.
Though.
Yeah,
our last question is from Shazira. I know you cannot wait to answer this question.
Oh, it's a good question.
How long do you folks spend on posing for the YouTube thumbnails per episode? They always come out so perfectly goofy. Certainly that does not come naturally. Thanks for the great continued content.
Thank you for noticing. Thumbnails are like my favorite.
We should say, you make all of our thumbnails.
I do. Yes. Well, I make all of our graphics for everything.
True. Yes.
But thumbnails are my weekly task.
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually take like, you know, this is like good content creator process. Like we take thumbnails and titling our videos and all that stuff like very seriously. We actually have like meetings about that every week and what kind of thumbnail we want to put together for certain episodes. Like what is the graphic going to look like? And then my camera roll now is just filled with different expressions of Kit. Like it's just like a mood board. I'm like, okay, this week I need you to be thoughtful. This week, I need you to be angry. This week, I need you to be happy. This week, I need you to be excited. See?
See,
so
you can
good.
Do it.
Your face is very expressive,
face
as
is
I
so
said.
Malleable. Just like putty. Just mix it up.
But yeah, we take the photos and then, you know, we take this very serious. It's serious business. Put together a thumbnail.
Again,
very important.
Years of going to VidCon has taught us making the thumbnail and the title is one of the most important thing you can do for YouTube content. So we try and put some effort into that.
Yeah, a lot of effort. It's fun though.
The Mr. Beast face. It's on every single thumbnail. For some reason, that's what people want to see.
I love the thumbnail like hot takes. Like, oh, this year the color for thumbnail backgrounds is yellow.
Oh,
next
yeah.
year, the color is going to be this thing. It's like, oh, what has been the latest algorithm trick for thumbnails?
Some of that can get
a little too deep,
where it's like, is this really true, or is this just like
it's
a
just
hunch
some,
that you have?
It's some like, rumor and speculation
now,
around thumbnails.
Now,
yes,
this is a serious follow-on to this. Hmm? We are sometimes, it's sometimes suggested that we're using clickbait
in our
titles or thumbnails. I think we should talk about that.
Yeah. Again, I think... everything that we put into a title or a thumbnail is in the episode.
Right.
We're going to be a little bit better, though, because I know these episodes are long, especially for the podcast. So we timestamp the episodes so you can see exactly where we discuss what we say in the title. Like, the last video that we had was about how there is no June Nintendo Direct. We discussed,
which was correct.
By the way, we were right. Just once again, for the people in the back,
in case you didn't hear it the
first
right.
time. Yeah. But anyways, that's not what this topic is about. But like, we do, we did talk about it in like the news section, which is like the middle of the episode. So maybe it's not like the first thing you heard. So we'll do better about putting timestamps in for stuff. But please know that our titles are not clickbait. They are always things that we discuss in the episode.
There are a lot of people in this sphere of gaming YouTube who do very egregious clickbait, which I promise we will never
do. We will never do that to you guys.
Yes.
Yeah. Everything that we put in the title, it might seem like a little dramatic.
We do need to find what we think is the most, you know, interesting or catchy thing to put out there to get people to want to come in if they're not, you know, a weekly subscriber.
Exactly.
Like, I listen to this religiously every week.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, we will not completely just like fabricate something that we won't even talk about.
Exactly. We would never do that.
And certainly everything that we say is our true opinion. So I'm not going to just, you know, go on some rant about something. Oh, yeah.
Just for the clicks.
You know,
for the views.
I was wrong about Sonic, and it's actually Mario that sucks.
Oh!
See, I won't do that.
Someone's going to clip that audio out. Don't say that out loud. You're going to get your... Someone's going to clip
out
you.
Out of context.
I'm going to get
aggregated. Oh, gosh.
Don't leave that. Those words leave your lips.
Can't believe that.
Anyways, great question, and thank you for, you know, recognizing the thumbnails, because they are real work to put together. So there you
go.
All right. That is the end of our Q&A.
Sure is.
And we're going to move on to our 1UP Club graduation ceremony. Yeah. Shall we begin?
Let's begin.
I will start again.
Okay.
Aaron Burgundy.
Aaron Hash.
Adam Edwards.
Ajahn Malari.
Alatori 05.
Alejandro.
Alexandra Pratt.
Amorous.
Angela Bycroft.
Bailey Meyer.
Ben Eckhorn.
Bettina Tsang.
Brad SF56.
Brian Humphreys.
Kat Laurie.
Chancellor Fairley.
Christopher Lay.
Captain Alex.
Daniel Cold.
Daniel Valencia.
Dogson.
David Zek.
Doodleface.
Douglas Chomix.
Drew Grant.
Ducatista.
Dino Punch.
Eigenverse.
Elite Peach.
Imad Renfro.
Sbarts50.
Ezrato.
Furbound.
Gar.
Garrett Hallfish.
Handheld Gamer.
Handsome Warrior.
Ian Shea.
Israel Izzy.
Jay Rando.
Jackie Z.
Jason E.
JK99.
JBJ.
Jeff Yoakum.
Jeffrey Hernandez.
Jesse Hernandez.
Jobert.
John Responte.
Jonathan Rowe.
Jordan Collette.
Jordan Hemmerly.
Jordy Kirk.
Joshua Clements.
Juan.
Just Camtro.
Kai Commercio.
Kawa 2796.
Kevin.
Kevin Delane.
K Madman TV.
Kyle Kretzer.
Kyler Nelson.
Lego My Froggo.
Link.
Link Master.
Luca Mania.
Lucas Pico.
Luis.
Luis Calcagno.
Malfarink.
Mamu.
Mark Schnazler.
Marky Man 64.
Maru Mayhem.
Matt McCarthy.
Matthew Rewald.
Megan.
Mega Z 23.
Michael Craven.
Michael J. File.
Michael Mazer.
Mike Chin.
Mikey.
Murph.
Mytran.
Nonarb.
Omi Omai.
Handabuns.
Parker Anderson.
Patreon user.
Paul Gale Network.
Piano Psychopath.
Pirates TCG Grudges Forever.
Prince Charmless.
PS Wii.
Raver.
Rad State of Mind.
Rain Tech.
Raphael.
Ray Chiron.
Ryuji Utsuho Okuu.
RJ Kern.
Rob Osborne.
Rocks.
Roy Eski.
Ryan Hayes 521.
Rianetta.
Sam Newland.
Schmiggles.
Scott LaRock.
Sephazon.
Shinru.
Slowbro.
Spicy Munchkin.
Steel Citrone.
Switching It Up _.
The Donro.
The Shark Among Men.
Thomas Alvarez.
Troopage.
Tugs Puppy Bear.
Tyler Geis.
VGM Life.
Video Game Stupid.
Beautiful Dandy.
Virtual Bot.
What's Up Flapjack.
Wicked Davey.
Will Ernst.
Zooterverf.
And Zen.
Oof.
That was clean.
I'm sorry, Mark Schlazer. Could have been better on that.
We put a lot of faces to these names through these meetups.
The Shark Among Men was an excellent Fall Guys player.
Well,
he had a shark costume.
He had the shark costume.
Character. He won several games.
It's a lifestyle for him.
It was
the shark
exciting.
Lifestyle. I love sharks. I'm down with this.
I like it. Yeah. I'm into it. I like it. Well, that is a show, everyone. Don't forget to follow us, subscribe to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/KitandKrista. There's tons of fun benefits, including our Patreon-only Discord, our One-Up Club monthly meetups, bonus Q&As that are weekly, and lots more.
And as they say, the start of a new month is the best time to sign up for Patreon. Right.
And that is now.
That's right now.
Exactly. Now. What else? Follow us on all our social media channels. We're on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, of course, and TikTok. Buy some merch. Support us there. The merch looks great. Thank you, Lee Kovacs, for making our beautiful logo. And don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a comment on this episode that you're watching right now. All right. We did it.
Done.
We'll see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.